So, Brother Frank, how about leading us in prayer this morning? Would you please, sir?
Father, thank you for the beauty of this morning. Thank you for the night of rest. Father, thank you most of all for the relationship we have with you through Jesus Christ and for the presence of your Holy Spirit that lives within us. Father, thank you for this group of men that have come to listen to your word. Father, thank you for the incredible fellowship we have here where walls of denominations have been broken down and that we have celebrated the unity that's in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our country. We know that you are Lord, and we pray that each of us will be a part of trying to bring about unity and showing the mercy and compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray for Dr. Henneke and many others in this group. Need families need our special concerns and prayers. We believe that you are the great physician, and we lift them all up to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Our brother, our friend, our teacher, Dr. Toby, this morning, as you lead us to Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I told you I always have something going on, trying to figure things out and work on them. So I'm gonna let you just brain tease with me this morning. I don't have a conclusion. Whenever we just get to a certain time, we'll just stop. Somebody, let's see, Rick, you got that Bible with you that you usually use?
I do.
Turn to Revelations for me, chapter 1, if you would. Go down and read about verse 10 and 11 for me.
Spirit took control of me. I heard a loud voice behind me. It sounded like a trumpet. The voice said, write in a book all these things you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.
I just have to tell you that This has been bothering me for quite some time, and I've been stumbling around trying to figure out about this spirit. I'm just going to tell you, it is not easy to lay aside all of your biases and prejudices and the teachings and the learnings and the lessons that you've had over the years and just try to look at the Bible and see what does the Bible say. And so I took you through part of my thing with faith. And I know you think I was finished with it, but I'm really not. I just will tell you, get ready one of these days because I'm going to hit you with living this thing out where there is no saving faith. Now take that home and work on it a while. That's what I'm working on with that one. So that one's still going. But I came across this idea of the spirit. I'm a little bit concerned about spirits. The other day, my nephew and his wife were there, and I was talking to her, and she was talking about this one room that she has at her house, which I remember was her prayer room. And she said, I like to go in there and talk with the spirits. She's getting in on my lesson stuff I'm trying to figure. I didn't get a chance for her to talk to me about, what do you mean you talk with the spirits? Well, you know, the word spirit appears hundreds of times in the Bible. You put the word holy with it and run the word Holy Spirit with it, and it will come up about 525 times in your Bible. But what bothered me was there are all kinds of spirits. Now, you know, us theologues, we got all built up here, and you only talk about the Holy Spirit. But I'm working on that side of it too, the Holy Spirit side of it. But I was concerned about all these other spirits. There's an evil spirit. Did you know that? If you haven't realized that, just go to church one day. But I was concerned about this. Got back to thinking about Genesis. God created this place. And something breathed over the deep. What was it that breathed over the deep? The Spirit. Ruah. Yeah, thanks, Frank. That's right. And it appears about 300 and something times in the Old Testament. All kinds of spirits. You remember King David? Wasn't it King David that went to talk to a lady about bringing up the Spirit? Saul went to the witch of Endor, was it? And drums up Samuel. Wants the Spirit of Samuel to come up. My wife says to me all the time, they can't talk to you because if they could, my mother would talk to me. But something was talking in that cave. Something going on in this cave. A spirit. Well, then I got to Acts, chapter 2. They gathered together all in one place in one accord. And the place lit up. Now, we get all hung up about the fire and the tongues and all this stuff, and we miss it. That's not what really happened. I mean, that did happen, but that's not what really happened. What really happened was the Holy Spirit fell on each of them. And it did something to their lives. It changed them enough that their whole message and everything else just lit up. God, that's a wonderful spirit to have. Our churches today need that kind of a spirit. Well, yeah, you need to read a few verses for me. I got some verses for us. Somebody read for me Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. Who's got it? You got it, Roger? And then somebody else ought to probably pick up John chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4 and pick up about verse 24. Somebody pick that one up? Okay, Tom. Then somebody ought to go to John chapter 14. Who's got chapter 4? You got chapter 14, okay. Go to verses 16 and 17. And somebody might as well just go ahead and pick up Acts chapter 2 and we'll go to verse 4. We'll pick that one up too and see what's going on with that. And then I need somebody to go to, well, I've already got Revelation. You've worked on Revelation for me already, so that's... Who got Genesis 1 2? Who had Genesis? Roger got Genesis 1. You still looking? It's your first book in there. First page in your book. First page in the book, yeah. Okay, Roger's got Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Ah, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you're going to see the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to see God's Spirit. You're going to see the Spirit of God. And somebody got smart somewhere along the line and decided they need to separate that out a little bit, and so they started calling him the Holy Spirit. Then somebody got smart somewhere along the line and decided, you know, people might not understand what they're reading, so they capitalized. I'll tell you, when you're reading the Greek and Hebrew, there's no capitalization in there. What really bothered me was there was no exclamation points and no... And the worst part about it is there's no inflections. But you ought not have a problem with the Spirit of God. Okay. Okay, let's see. I was someplace else. Where was I? John 24. Who had John 4:24? Let's read that one, Tom.
This is NET. God is spirit, and the people who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth.
Wow. Now, see? Part of my problem is I was raised in the Church of the Nazarene, and that was the fundamental doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene in those early days. It was about the Holy Spirit. They had all kinds of words. They had sanctification, they had consecration, they had dedication, they had all kinds of things. Some other people had some other names for them, like holy rollers, and you know what I mean. And so I was trying to lay that aside and just think about God as a spirit. You see, that troubles me because I'm not smart enough to figure out about spirits. First of all, I grew up with three brothers who scared me to death all the time, and they always talked about spirits going to get me. It had to be a fast spirit to get me because I could move. And so I grew up in the church where the church kept talking about the spirit. And they said things that I tried to lay them aside and just look back here and say, okay, wait a minute. There's got to be something to this because God's a spirit. And if you're going to worship him, you're going to worship him in spirit. Now, what kind of spirit am I going to take to God to worship with God? You see where I'm going? When I was growing up, I was brainwashed with the theological side of this, so that we're right and they're wrong. You understand that, don't you? So,
no, we never
do that. No, I know. No, we don't do that.
Have you forgot we're the only ones?
No, I haven't forgotten. That's why I got this message going for you. I want you to know you're not the only one.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit does not have a church. Isn't that wonderful? But he found a group of people who gathered together in a church. And I love this group. They were in one accord in one place. Boy, oh boy. Let's don't go to that church, because if we do, we're going to mess it up. So God found a perfect church. Don't join it. Leave it alone. But there they were gathered together, and this spirit came upon them. Now, see, we get all hung up when they were speaking in tongues, and we can't do that. And some other people say, well, that's the only thing it is to it. And if you can't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't say that. Other people said that about the Holy Spirit. And what we forget is what did the Holy Spirit do for and through this gathering that was there? How many of your churches added 3,000 in one day? Speak up, boy. Speak up. No. 5,000 added to the church. And do you remember what it said? Why that happened? As the Holy Spirit led them. I got concerned about this spirit. This Holy Spirit. See, I had somebody go and read John 14. 16 through 17.
I'm going to start at verse 15.
All right.
If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth,
which
the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He will dwell in me and you. You going to say something to Bill? You're just scratching your head. Oh, okay. I get ready to take an offering here. So get to raise those hands. I won't give it. How am I going to know this spirit is in me?
By the way you treat your neighbor.
And who is my neighbor? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said they're going to know how you love one another. That's amazing. Well, do I have somebody read Acts chapter 2, verse 4 yet? Somebody read Acts 2, 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
That was one of the things about being a pastor that always concerned me. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't giving a message out of Life magazine or out of some news report I had heard or about some problem that was in the church. I said to my wife many times, if the Spirit doesn't come into this, it will be wasted. Did you know I go away from here on Friday mornings, other than when I'm talking. I go away from here on Friday mornings in a different spirit than I was when I came. Do you know that? We don't have 144 in here, but do you know what? The Spirit of God occupies this space. And my place is to recognize He's here. Then I had to ask myself, after I walked out of many of these meetings, I had to ask myself, now what do I do? That 120 that was in that upper room, boy, when they went out, something happened. Thousands of people. Now, of course, you and I are so dignified, we wouldn't want them talking about us like they did about those people come staggering out of that room. Now they're drunk. Yeah. I've been in meetings like that. I've been in gatherings where the Holy Spirit came and you were just beside yourself. Where the Holy Spirit would just come in on you and you just don't understand what you're doing. You just, but does the word Shekinah glory ring a bell? Is that, that's not a Nazarene word, is it? That's just an old-fashioned word, isn't it? It's a Bible word. The Shekinah glory of God comes, but it comes in the Spirit. See, we want to be able to see Him and touch Him and push Him around and tell Him what we can do and what we can't do. And He just wants to come in and possess you. You see why I'm having a problem with this is because I'm having to lay aside my church doctrines and my church teachings and my learnings and all this thing where I... Well, you have to be politically correct when you say these things. And just allow the Holy Spirit to guide me through the Scripture. Because that's how He's going to talk to you and me when nothing else works, that works. If you will get in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to overflow you when you're reading the Scripture, it will do something different for you. And when you speak to other people, if you let the Spirit of God speak through you, you will approach them differently. There's just something about that that's different. Even when you meet people who are obstinate and stubborn, and they're sure they're right and you're wrong, and there's nothing to this church business. I hate to report to you, but that's partly true. Because the church has become too much of a business organization that's trying to grow and build big buildings and become known of something beside the fact that the Holy Spirit abides in this place. They have the right to complain about us. We want to see how loud we can sing and how loud the trumpets can play and those blasted drums.
Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on.
Drummers and organists have one thing in common.
Yeah.
They only know one thing, and that's wide open. And there's nothing wrong with the instruments. There's nothing wrong with the music. The problem is we lose the spirit. We let those things destroy the spirit. We want to blame it on them, but you know what? The Holy Spirit's bigger than all that. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than all of that. You let the Holy Spirit have control of those services and He'll do His work. But you know what's funny? He does His work through you and me. I got some more good news for you. He can do it without you and me. And He does it without you and me sometimes. And sometimes He does it to you and me, and that's when it's great. Boy, when you just, and you hate to say, tell people, oh, the Holy Spirit just really rode me hard today. He told me my attitude was bad. Oh, the Holy Spirit, get out of my business. But we won't listen to Him. And so I've been tracking this all through the Bible now. And as you can see, I haven't got a good grip on it yet. But there's something about the Holy Spirit that each of us needs to know, and that is this. He wants to possess you and me to such a degree that He can live out through you and me so that others will see and know there is something real about this Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I hate to do this because it gets me all bundled up. He will sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. He will sanctify you wholly. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. But He says He'll do it. If He says He'll do it, He'll do it. And there must be something to it. So I got to think, well, okay. Where am I going with all this then? And there's a little verse stuck way back in there. Somebody turn to Galatians 5:22. 5:22. And see, now there are no inflections in these verses. They just, they're words. And we can read them kind of funny like. But they are, you got it? Read it.
But the Spirit gives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Oh, hush. Is that all?
Well, He does say, there is no law that can say these things are wrong.
So now this, you know, we churches, we don't want to read that part. Because everybody else is wrong. Now, He could have stopped right there at that very first one, couldn't He?
Yeah.
And then we start questioning, now what does He mean by love? And He gives us a great example. He says, John said, because God so loved this world that He gave His only Son, whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish but would have life everlasting. For He, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through His Holy Spirit would be saved. And so I just have to tell you, I'm really humbled on this idea of the Holy Spirit. And I'm beginning to understand that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit filling me. And He will keep filling me as long as I will empty spaces for Him to come in and fill me. Now, this is not church doctrine, folks. This is biblical doctrine. This is simply says that's what he wants to do to you so that the people around you will know that he is real because you love one another. And one another don't mean just you and me. It means those people out there. It means the owner of this restaurant. It means people you disagree with and who disagree with you. Love's another one of those words I get hung up on out there. But when I look at what God did for me and how he's brought me thus far, I'm going to have to say he had a whole lot of love going on. Now, some of you folks can't say that, see. You know, you. But I grew up in the church. I had to have a lot of that. And I'm realizing I needed it more than I thought I did. Because I had blinders on. I was more interested in making a Nazarene than I was a Christian. And you can't make Christians out of those Baptists. I decided I wanted to go one step further when I was just a boy. And so on Saturday mornings over in my park where I lived, the Jewish guys had access to that park. And they came over, they had softball meets. You know, I decided, you know, they need me. I need you over there. So I went over there. I went home many times as a boy, and it's crazy as a boy to get tied up like this, but they showed more love for this old heathen, infidel, non-Jewish guy, than I was willing to give to them. I found myself wanting to change them. They never tried to change me, but they lived something before me. I never saw one of them throw a bat. I never saw one of them stand up and argue and fuss about whether he was safe or not. I never saw one of them jump up and down and scream because they called a strike when it wasn't a strike. They were different. But I wanted to change them. And the Holy Spirit would say to me time and time again, you can't change them. No more than they can change you. But I can change them. Just like I changed you. But you have got to live it out before them. You've got to let my spirit live out through you. And sometimes that's just a smile. Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just a handshake. But we have been silent too long. We've been quiet too long. I just have a feeling that upper room was a blast. That had to be something else. When what happened in that upper room flowed out to the people outside, and what was interesting was that, look at them. See, we don't want people looking at us. We're too humble. We're too gracious. Don't look at me. Yeah, they want to look at you, and the Holy Spirit wants them to look at you. And the Holy Spirit wants to live in me so that I will be filled with him enough so that he will live out through me without me even knowing it. That happens to you. Do you know that? You would be surprised how many people you have influenced that you had no idea you influenced them. And my prayer is, oh, Holy Spirit, may the influence come from you, not from me. And so I'm working on this thing about the Holy Spirit and all these other spirits. There are evil spirits, and they're in this world today, and folks, we are seeing them, and they're coming up in the name of the Lord. Rick gets them.
Yes, sir. Tom, I was just wondering, you know, my translation says, but the Spirit gives these things. In your opinion or through your experiences, why I feel like I have to be a better lover of people or be a more gentle person or have more. It's like stuff that I feel like I have to do that. Why? I don't know if everybody else feels that way, but why? What's in us that makes us feel that way?
Just join my boat. See, that's a great part of what I'm dealing with right now is, how do I get me off of the throne and let the Holy Spirit rule? Harold, I hear you saying, yeah.
Yeah, in Galatians there, where we were, you stopped at 5:24, but 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, being jealous of one another.
Now you see why I left that one out. I mean, that gets too close to home.
That's what you're talking about.
That's what's bothering me. See that?
It's our pride that really wants to control.
What happened in the garden for me was Adam and Eve were fully possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, and they had a very holy reunion with God until they decided they wanted to be in control. And when self got control, self destroyed the relationship between man and God. Not between God and man, between man and God. And man was the loser. God was heartbroken, but man was the loser. And the thing now for us today, for me, is what I'm working with is, how can I get my spirit back in right relationship with God so that I can walk in the garden with Him in the evening time? And when He calls my name, I don't have to go hide. When I was a boy growing up, I did. I had to hide. Because these preachers would come along and preach, and they'd say awful things. I grew up in the country. As country boys, we just like to fight. I mean, we weren't mad at each other. We just like to fight. We'd wrestle and tussle and slug each other and go home and not get a whipping every time. Because my mother always said, if you're going to fight out there, I'm going to give you a licking when you get home. I said, oh, well, I got many a licking because we weren't going to stop fighting. It's just the way we were. It's just, we weren't mad at each other. We'd get up and walk home together. Three or four of us get out there, when it rained, that was when it was really fun.
Oh boy.
I mean, you know, get out there in that mud. It's just hold his face down in the mud.
That's what made your mama mad.
Oh, get my dirty clothes. But there's something about you and me with the Holy Spirit that we're that way. We won't let Him build that relationship with us because we've been brainwashed. Okay? We have got to defend our position rather than allow the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love one another. Does that make sense? Yes, sir.
Just hit me.
As long as you don't confuse spiritual with spirit-filled. We all really need to start trying to find out, how can I empty myself more so that the Holy Spirit can possess me more? That's how you're going to get through these verses that we just talked about. And Harold had to go ahead and ruin the whole thing. Yes.
This is probably getting simplistic, but I'm just amazed over the simplicity of the number of souls that were added, not membership, but the number of souls that were added by simply the apostles not doing their own thing for God. They were being moved by the Holy Spirit that prompted their speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people, all they heard this gospel message, and their hearts were pierced.
Yeah, sure.
Brought the 3,000.
Yeah.
So, can you be doing too much for God? Not really letting God do it. These people got moved by the Spirit. They didn't plan, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to this corner. I'm going to start doing this. They were moved.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, this is hard for me to comprehend because I don't know where do you stop doing things for God. Whereas, really, if you can do it, who's getting the glory? You're doing it. Is it really then by faith and the movement of the Spirit, if you can do it? Because God can do, apparently, some pretty miraculous things when He's doing it.
Yeah.
Where do you stop that? Where does that line get drawn in churches of so much other things that have to be done to where you start feeling the guilt of, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Look at what those people seem to be wanting to do, that and that and that. And where do you draw that line between are you doing something for God or is God actually doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can God live through us? You remember Peter and John when they were walking to the temple, and the guy wanted them to help him, and they got right down to it quick and said, "We don't have anything to help you with, but we do have something to help you with." Why? And that's that spirit that I'm talking about. So that we will allow Him to so possess us. That it is not, as Paul said, it is not me, but it is Him. It's not for me, it's for Him. Are you waving at me or are you going to say something? All right, David. I got to give him by because he can't talk.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I was thinking about what Chris was talking about just a minute ago. The message that... they were speaking that day was this Christ whom you crucified. That's the word that came out from them. This Christ whom you crucified. Well, that's the same message we need to hear today. Every one of us were the cause of His crucifixion. And we need to hear that message. You who crucified Him. It was Him who did it because He wanted to save you. And that I think is the message that came out of all of that. The other thing is that in context in these scriptures, the one that you started out with was John on the Isle of Patmos on the Sabbath day was in the Spirit. They used the large S, and you spoke about that, but in the context of that particular scripture, that is exactly what He was doing. He was living within the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when all of this took place. And I think there are some of us who have experienced that very same thing, where when we were in the Spirit, we had messages that came to us that probably have changed our lives, or at least in that particular moment, gave us a direction in which we needed to go.
Okay, let me wind it up with this. And my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. Father, oh, we just wish we knew how to open up enough to allow your Holy Spirit to fill us to capacity. Teach me how to empty myself only to be filled with you and your Spirit. May your spirit invade every heart here today so that the cry from my heart will come, fill me, Lord, fill me now. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good Lord bless you. Have a good day.